Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the one born so long ago, the one we celebrate again, the one who is coming a second time, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On the face of it, of course, the whole story is preposterous. And if we think about it for just a very little bit, we can see how foolish this story seems to the world. And we Christians feed right into the rationalists who just want to prove that this Jesus story is ridiculous. Just take today's gospel, the story that we have in Luke 1. An angel named Gabriel comes to visit a young woman, a girl actually, named Mary. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm going to guess that angel visitations among the people of Bethel have been very rare, maybe even non-existent, as they were very rare in all ages. But this Gabriel comes waltzing in, and he starts a conversation with Mary like he's just taken the next table at the Canadian Honker and making small talk. Gabriel is talking to one who we believe is very young. People often got married that day. She was betrothed, Mary was, to one named Joseph, often getting married at 14, 15, maybe 16, a very young woman. And the rationalists of our day would say, oh, that makes great sense that God would choose that young a person to carry on such an important task for us. Mary is troubled by this, but the story does not report that she's troubled by an angel talking to her. Evidently, she runs into angels at the Canadian Honker all the time. Instead, what she is troubled about are the angel words. Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But Gabriel trudges right past Mary's discomfort and tells her that she is going to bear a son, one who will be the Son of the Most High and will sit on the throne of David. Now you'd think Gabriel could have eased into news like that a little bit more gently. Maybe he could have pulled up a chair and talked about the latest Viking score, or the weather and the beautiful snow outside. Instead, he just launches into this big news. And Mary does not respond to the big news. Instead, she responds to the problems with the news. She informs the angel that though she is engaged to one named Joseph, she is not married. As a virgin, this bearing a son thing is going to be a bit of a problem. Gabriel informs her that the Holy Spirit has a plan, that the Holy Spirit will conceive and you will bear a son. And the rationalists just shake their heads at this. I mean, could this story get any more preposterous? But wait, there's more. Mary evidently has an old relative named Elizabeth who has never had a child. You know, just to spice things up a little bit, let's give her a kid too. You know, maybe the boys can celebrate birthdays together. They could buy cousins Vikings jerseys together. Oh, we have a young teenager. We have an old woman, relatives. Both of them are going to have babies. And how does Mary respond to this? With amazement, with horror, with worry about the scandal this is going to cause in the community, having a baby without benefit of a husband. No, she says, okay, here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And the rationalists say, this story is not making any sense at all. And in truth, it doesn't make a great deal of sense. This story is preposterous to the point that we could be called fools, and the rationalists have a point. In fact, we are fools, fools for Christ, as Paul writes in the first letter to the Corinthians. It takes great faith. It took great faith for Mary to react to the angel Gabriel as she did. It takes great faith for us to believe in a miracle birth, a birth that would make any difference to any of us 2,000 years later. But it takes great faith to believe in many great things, even in our day. It takes great faith to believe in love. I believe that my wife loves me. I can point to countless acts of loving behavior over the many decades that we have been together. But factually, I can only point to those loving behaviors. I cannot actually prove the love. I still have to believe, have faith that my wife loves me. After all, the world is littered with stories of couples who have deceived each other, even if they have acted lovingly toward one another. The true feelings of parents and children sometimes come out under stress. Con artists enjoy using love to reel in their victims. You know, you still have to have faith to believe in love. You have to have faith to believe that God created the world. In truth, the rationalists also need faith to believe in their theories. It's only theories that we put forth these days. No one is going to go back to the very first dust particle or ion that was formed and prove and say, see, this is how the world was created. You have to believe. And what we believe in God's church is that God created the world. Now, God could have done it in many different ways. God could have done a Big Bang. God could do evolution. God could use Crayola crayons to create the world if God chose. We just have faith. Faith in that creator. Do you have faith? Do you have the faith that is called for by God in this story? You know, we probably don't have the same kind of faith as Mary had. Put yourself in her place for just a minute. You're home in your room playing Fortnite, and an angel comes to visit you in your room. Now, somehow you're not too disturbed that there's an angel in your room, but you are troubled by the words that the angel uses. The angel goes by your troubles and tells you that you will bear the Son of God, that this Son will sit on the throne of David. And you react by saying, I'm on board. I'm with you here, Angel Gabriel. Let it be to me according to your word. Do you have that kind of faith? Well, you don't need it. God asked that faith of one very special person, a servant of the Lord, nearly 2,000 years ago. And God took that miracle birth and turned it into a life of love and service. That love went to the cross so that we might have confidence in the one who has created us, the one who sustains us, the one who will redeem us. Oh, but of course, those are matters of faith as well. And they are reserved for another day and another season. Today, we concentrate on the one who was born named Jesus, according to Gabriel. We concentrate on the one who is the Son of the Most High God, the one who sits on the throne forever. That Christ is a gift to us. Our faith is a gift. Come back. Come back tomorrow and the day after, and we will celebrate that God-given faith in a way that's reserved for just a couple of days and an entire year. And may we always be blessed with Mary, knowing that there is fulfillment for all that the Lord has spoken to us. Amen. Hymn 298, please rise and sing.